It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, Jastin here, DM from the Realms of Trinity and a member of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity.
Hi, this is the Witch King, owner of the Rise of Sauron Persistent World, and happy to be invited to this Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And you're listening to the 158th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, we're back here after about 3 weeks off. We queued up a bunch of episodes and ran out, so we had to come back in the old office here and get another episode or two recorded. So tonight we got an interesting episode. We got some news we're going to talk about, and then after the news, we're going to have a little powwow and talk about the TRS, which is the Rise of Sauron in the Realms of Trinity merger. It's what we're calling a Persistent World Alliance, and we're going to go over that process and how we proceeded with that, and also some of the new systems that we've co-designed and developed together, pretty much for the first time in PW history for Neverwinter Nights 2. So we're definitely excited about that. We've made a ton of progress, and Witch King will be joining us from the Rise of Sauron. And before that, Jas is going to start off with the Neverwinter Nights 1 news.
Yeah, so in Neverwinter Nights 1, we have some new content out. There's a hack pack from the Amethyst Dragon for some merchant signs. They look pretty dang good. They're out on the vault there, so if you go out there and check it out, it's set up to replace the older ones that are in the CEP. So check them out. They're pretty nice looking signs. And then we also have the custom content challenge from January with the Rogues and other Shadow Walker content. So there's quite a few entries into this one here, so plenty of stuff to look at for Rogues. They have a wardrobe you can hide in, a sliding bookcase, a vault that's supposedly thief-proof. There's a shell game, a banana peel trap, some other trap models, some wanted posters, a bunch of stuff here like that. Duck, duck, duck trap, a loot-worthy chest, and a secret HQ. So get out there and check out those also.
Yeah, those look really cool. I like to see the banana peel trap you somewhere. That'd be great.
Yeah, there's some good pictures of it on the vault. So definitely go look. It's pretty funny. There's a, you know, you slip on the banana peel and you fall down on your butt with probably knockdown effect or whatever. So it's pretty good.
But yeah, it's definitely something to look into. And again, there is a new module for Neverwinter Nights 1 that I've seen too. It's called The End of Chaos by Icarus35. It's a low treasure XP adaptation of the Hero Quest scenario End of Chaos written by Greg Feuer for Adventures Unlimited number 5. You and your traveling companion arrive at the famed Inn of Wary Traveler after many weeks on the road to find it deserted. So that could lead to many, many places, and lots of great super adventures start at the old Wary Traveler or equivalent. So, yeah, definitely just even look at the old Inn of Last Home in Kryn, you know, for Dragonlance people out there. You know, a lot of great adventures start right in this regular good old tavern or two. So definitely check that out. Sounds like a really cool adventure just to play around with. And, you know, just if you want to get something like that, it's definitely good. And Neverwinter Nights 2, we don't got a whole lot, but something important. Yesterday, which was January 22nd, Cadran released his PRC pack version 1.42. It's got a lot
hey,
of...
Brian.
Yeah.
February.
February 23rd, 2012. It's got a lot of good stuff in it, and definitely check it out. He's released... he's actually trying to upload the content to the vault, but he's having a problem with his account, and he is contacting the new admin of the IGN vault, which is actually a news topic that I'm going to get into next. It's kind of a general topic. Beyond the Pale, for reasons unknown, had to step down as the head of the IGN vault, as the webmaster for it. And a new guy just came on the scene. So He's been doing a lot of good work so far. I've seen a lot of great updates and things to the vault that he's been able to do, and it's really cool. Maximus is his name, as a matter of fact, and he's done a lot of great work getting stuff up. He's actually also just recently put the NWN script form archives back from the original BioWare forms, you know, that was put taken down a while back, and there was a ton of knowledge out there that was kind of went into the ether, so to speak, and he's done a lot of good work with that and to get that on there. So definitely check it out. There's like 15,000 posts that they were imported in. So, you know, definitely if you're an Neverwinter Nights 1 scripter, it's huge. So definitely check that out. It's very similar to the NWN2 wiki that they have for, you know, the script references and stuff. So serious business. So you got anything else, Jason, before we get into the interview?
I think that was it on the news. So let's get started.
All right, let's get started. And then before we close out, just if you'd like to get on Neverwinter Nights podcast, make sure you send me an email, bbloom@realmsoftrinity.com, or you could post on our forum right off of the podcast website. It's definitely, you know, if you've got some content or even heck, if you have a suggestion of people that you would like us to interview, make sure you do that. You know, we like to get as many interviews as we possibly can queued up. So, and not only that, to be able to get you the information about stuff that interests you and not just it interests us. So it'd be great if you could drop us a line and let us know if you have some content that you'd like to have covered on the next podcast. Well, here we are. We got a heck of a little interview / discussion tonight in this episode 158. We've got the Witch King here from The Rise of Sauron, and Jastin, my fellow DM and developer of the Realms of Trinity. And we're going to talk about some really interesting and great developments between our two persistent worlds, The Rise of Sauron and The Realms of Trinity for Neverwinter Nights 2. About 2 months ago, Witch King and I started having some discussions about, you know, the future of both of our persistent worlds and, you know, wanting to capitalize on a joint effort and to actually see what we can do together and develop new systems and, you know, share our technologies with each other. And we started that process. So about 2 months ago, you know, I packaged all my stuff up and, you know, I integrated to the Rise of Sauron persistent world and, you know, including all our dynamic spawning database stuff that we've done, our administration tool that I've written and all that good stuff. And Witch King has provided us at the Realms of Trinity with about 400 beautifully designed areas that, you know, are extremely well done. And, you know, we're plus other systems that they've developed as well, which Witch King will talk about here now.
Yeah, exactly. So just a bit to make a little comeback on what just Brian says. I was feeling somehow alone in the world of Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent worlds, and running a persistent world needs a lot of expertise. And of course, I do not have all this expertise. So I met Brian, who has invited me on one of those podcasts, and we made a lot of posts. Discussion on that, on how he was handling his persistent world as long as mine, and both. We just found out that we both have great product and content that both of our persistent world could benefit. So Brian spoke about all of his system that he gladly provided us and implemented us into our model. And on our side, we provided them with a lot of artistic work, especially for areas, but also some very nice systems such as our crafting systems, which is available for him to use if you ever decide to go on this regard. But still, he does have the idea of the system, but also other system that could be used, especially as the item modifier that is still there, and also the language. So Brian is a very, very skilled scripter, so we don't know at what point what will be the use for that for him. However, I am 100% sure that the Real Trinity players will sure benefit of our areas. I'm sure that Brian and his crew will find a way to make it profitable for his players.
Absolutely, and you know, just to expand on what you just said, I mean, the CNR crafting system that you're talking about, I have reviewed it. It is certainly something that I'm looking at, because we're going to be talking later in this discussion about the Realms of Trinity 3 campaign that we're going to be developing, and I'm going to save that for that discussion. But we're definitely looking to implement the CNR for that, in addition to our current custom crafting system that we've done, the GUI version crafting that we already have. But it offers such a great, expansive way of developing your items and things that's beyond just, okay, click, add this, click, add that. You know, it actually really encourages great gameplay, and harbors a really good RP background, and just an investment into your character development beyond just building your character. So I definitely think that, you know, hats off to you, Witch King, you know, for putting that together. It's a fantastic system, and the work that you've done on it to get it to the place it's at. So definitely something we're looking to use.
Yeah, and also just so I know that some people might say that, okay, what, why going to this alliance as doing or building a persistent world takes a lot of time. And what we've noticed is that while there's a lot of peoples that and developers who have made custom content, who have freely provided that into the vault, on the other side, there's a lot of content out there that seems to be kept secret. And in our mind, me and Brian had we said, hey, why not sharing this and make it a benefit to both of our communities. And I really like this this direction that Rod and TRS have taken recently.
Yeah, same here. I mean, we definitely also, something that, you know, comes up between the alliance and how we're putting our service, you know, our way we're building our service from this point forward, is the fact that we're also helping each other with conceptual designs, and the fact that make it, because stuff like my experiences, or, you know, we've been alive for almost 4 years. You've been live for what, 5 or 6 now?
Yeah, we're alive for Neverwinter Night in general since 2004, but for Neverwinter Night 2, we are up since 2007.
So right there, I mean, you're looking at, you know, what a ridiculous amount of time between the two of our experiences, and we have totally disjoint experiences running persistent worlds. So by putting those together, we can broaden our sense of development and our ideas of things that we need to develop for the players, because we both have our own sets of players. So yeah, well, there's intersections between our player bases, but by and large, you know, we have a lot of separate players, and because of that and our experiences, we can develop more full-featured systems that are highly configurable, and that's what we're going to get into this next topic, that really cover the gambit of, you know, how, what we can produce, period. And, you know, that's what we're going to talk about now. So you want to talk? Go ahead and start talking about the RP system.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the like I was mentioning earlier. The good reason and the success of this alliance, it makes it that both of our world have different settings, and our settings are not overlapping. So we're like just Brian said, we're not either considering that we don't steal players from a community to another. It's just a complement. So in TRS, we were looking for a system that was able to give reward to players when there's no DM around, because both of our persons in world run 24 hours a day. Unfortunately, none of us is paid for that. So we have some loop, and in order to not discourage or give some disadvantage to the players that playing on various time zones, which are different than ours, we wanted to have a system that could provide them with RP bonus and RP reward. So on my side, I had in mind a system that I thought would be very interesting for players, and also rewarding on the fact that players could be able to make their RP, and the a system that could reward. And it's not a system like the common system that usually see that on most server, which is based on the number of words or number of time you or number of sentences or no, it's I mean this topic will not give any spoiler about the mechanics about it. Brian will speak about it a little bit later, but no, it's more it's to focus the player in order to let him do his RP, create the background with his character, work around the setting he's playing in, and the system the way it's made is made to suit whatever Passions for World setting that you can imagine. So regardless if you're going Forgotten Realms or Middle Earth like we do, or if you want to go Harry Potter's or whatever, this system will sure be able to fit any kind of setting. So, but the bad part of this is that I am not a scripter. So in a matter of a couple days, I could say the way it happened. He told me, Brian told me, I would have this thing done in a month. Then after a couple of days, say, okay, we're now ready to test. So,
So
maybe Brian can go tell us more about how you've been through that.
Yeah. Well, it first started off with a great conceptual design, you know, which King provided me. You know, first thing I asked because we were talking about it over IM in the Skype for, I don't know, at least a week before we started actually moving forward with it. And I said right off the bat, it's like, well, I'll tell you what, you have a lot of great ideas. I was like, well, I want to see a concept, you know, what you have functional design and how you, you know, want it to work. You know, I don't need technical details. I just need to know how you want it to work, what kind of configuration options you'd like to see, how do you envision the whole thing to look. So Witch King comes back to me with this two-page bloated document from top to bottom on how, you know, exactly what he was looking for, exactly how it would work, and, you know, the things that, you know, that should be configured or configurable. So I started developing that, you know, I was reading over it and trying to see, you know, how that will work for the NWN2 engine, and also an easy way to make it, you know, configure it, you know, once you do get everything in place and how it works and everything. And so it wouldn't impact the actual game server either, you know, low impact and everything. So after a couple of days, I sat down, I said, okay. Now I come up with a functional design, and we sat down, looked over it, and, you know, we agreed that it was good, that that's the way to proceed. So, you know, I started sitting down, and I developed out the way the system works, you know, from top to bottom. I modified the actual game to be able to accept XP rewards / penalties, you know, to be applied to a character while they're logged in that could be queued, like in a table that would just keep processing, and it would, you know, just keep applying those penalties and rewards to the player. That was the first step of this process. So once I got that done, I moved on to the actual, you know, the configuration options first, you know, so we would sit down, and I don't want to get into too many of the details on how the system works, because that's kind of the beauty of the system, is because you keep so much of it behind the scenes so that it can't be exploited. You know, some of the public things that we're taught, how it works, I've posted the details to on our website and everything, but I can give a brief synopsis on how it works. So basically, like Witch King was just talking about, this can be configured for any persistent world setting. You know, and it's not just about how much you type in or copy. If you're cheating, copy and pasting in a Skywings, you know, a client extender, it's a bunch of text, and hopefully, you know, you get a billion XP or whatever. You know, we've taken a lot of that stuff into account with the design. The first thing is that all gets stored in a database. So every time you type something, it's all going in a database in the channels that we specify. So either we say local chat, party chat, and tails, not tails, but whispers is what we're allowing to be parsed. And that's fully configurable. You can just by a couple mouse clicks in an admin, in the admin tool that I've developed for the persistent world itself, we just added more features to that admin tool to manage this system. And you go in there, you set your settings on, you know, and you save them. It's a real simple interface. And also, we also have limits on how much XP you can gain per hour, per day. It's that detailed. Whether or not the rewards will stack in a line of text, whether or not that'll accumulate XP for you, or it'll just be one reward that's totally configurable by the persistent world runner. And also, we have different options in there, whether or not it's test mode or live mode, so that if you were testing out changes or whatever, it wouldn't affect gameplay for anybody or rewards for anybody. So we put the system together, developed it that way so that, you know, all that stuff would go to the database and it'd be queued up to be processed. Once every, you know, half hour, hour, whatever the persistent world runner decides that how they want, how the duration between the time that those chats are processed, a program that runs outside of the Neverwinter Nights 2 game engine, it's a Windows application that'll go through the database, scan those lines of text, calculate rewards, and then queue up the bonuses to be applied to the player. So when they're logged in, within 10 minutes, they'll get that adjustment to their character with a message. You know, it's also configurable, saying that, hey, you've gotten, because of your roleplay skills, you've gotten this reward. And that's how it all goes. So basically, that's how it works. So from the time you type something to the time you get the reward, it really depends on how you configure the system. You know, we've been running this system for about a week and a half now. And, you know, it's been really good running it, the application every 30 minutes and within 10. And, you know, so that it'd be, you know, the most 40 minutes of detail, you know, 40 minutes by the time you get your reward. So, you know, it's very hard to cheat the system and everything that. Plus, like we said before, we don't want to be having copy pasting going on to get a bunch of stuff, you know, in the game. So that's why we have the hourly and daily XP limits to avoid that. Plus, another feature that, you know, I want to drop in real quick is we also added a dashboard to the admin tool that actually shows the actual summary of these rewards, you know, real time, so that you could see if a player's, you know, cheating or not. It would stick out like a sore thumb with the details that we have on this statistical dashboard that you just briefly look at every so often just to make sure that, you know, even though there's a maximum set, that doesn't mean somebody's not maxing out every day. You should investigate. If you're a persistent world runner, you should investigate to see whether or not it is somebody just copy and pasting stuff over and over and over again, you know, just to try to get some kind of exploit to the system. But it's really hard to do. We've been running, like I said, about a week and a half to almost 2 weeks, and I haven't seen anything even remotely close to an exploit going on. So, and the system's working flawlessly. Players love it so far that have taken a part of it. You know, we don't have a huge RP, you know, player base. We like to increase it, and that's one of the reasons why we've added the system. So, you know, so far, of the RP players that we have, it has certainly been heavily used, you know, by them already. So that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the layout of the system.
Yes, and maybe something that you didn't expect much, but this system is also to promote the role playing on a server, but also to help push a little bit about concerning the immersion, to keep immersive the situation. And there's a lot of situation and a lot of server that has players that are do not respect that. So if wanted, these tools allow the player, the administrator, to disallow the use of what we call the internet slang. So if it's at all possible.
Yeah, definitely has a lot. That definitely has a lot of bonuses for keeping immersive chat in the world. I mean, you can have an RP system that you could type in all kind of stuff that has nothing to do with RP. I mean, you're technically talking to somebody, you're technically doing these things, but you're not necessarily, it's not going to necessarily enforce a immersion. You know, I know a lot of persistent worlds that are strictly RP, you know, that's like one of the biggest things that you read on their forums, they're between the players and stuff like that, and the RP rules and things, that, you know, if you're really looking for an immersive factor, this is one way to do it, and the way that Witch King just designed it is certainly, it's huge. It works out perfectly for that reason.
So that the RP system there that you guys are talking about sounds great, but to go along with that, the next thing that we want to talk about today is the Realms of Trinity third campaign project, which is also looking at a role-playing type focus. And basically what Brian and I have been talking about, and everyone else on the team really, but what we've been talking about lately is doing a third campaign more role-playing based. So when we started off, we're going to have an ultimate goal or focus for the campaign where we want to start. But instead of having everything scripted out, we're going to do it in preset role-playing events. So everybody can show up and we can run through what we would call previously a, you know, chapter one or whatever, you know, will be an event that we've designated ahead of time, but all DM driven and all role played through to kind of give a more immersive feel to the story and, you know, hopefully draw everybody in. Hopefully the idea behind it, you know, we can build up that role playing aspect also. And not just to go strictly to that. I mean, we still plan to have other side quests and other scripted quests available, because like we were talking about earlier, we're not always there all day, every day, you know, but this way the main storyline can be immersive and progressive throughout the campaign.
Definitely, that's the focus we're going on. It also, you know, something that traditionally, in the realm, because of the size of the Realms of Trinity 1 and 2 campaigns, I mean, we start out from, you know, a low magic environment. You know, it is truly an RP environment. It is IL. We have item level restrictions. We have, you know, we have the RP system, but, and we do start you off very low, and it's very hard to get beefy stuff, you know, to get off the bat. But, you know, by the time you progress through two full campaigns, I mean, your character scales up to an epic character or high magic, you know, so you start out low and you go to high over the long haul. You know, a lot of RP players don't necessarily like that. It's something that the Witch King and I have discussed it before. You know, some people just like to kill rats for 5 XP with a, you know, with a wooden club or whatever, you know, some low level item that for their whole playing experience. Because we've emulated on our two campaigns the same type of progression or setup as the core original game, you know, if you're looking at Neverwinter Nights 2 and Neverwinter Nights 2 Mask of the Betrayer, you know, how it scaled you from the very beginning all the way up to epic levels, you know, that's kind of the model that we approached when we developed that, you know, scripted out just like the core campaign. It runs just like the original campaign and the add-on. And we wanted to move towards you know, a hybrid where we're truly an RP server and we are going to be low magic, you know, it will scale to mid magic, you know, but we're not going to go back to the epic levels, you know, so even if we do get up to the level 20, 21-ish, that in have like strictly RP progression past, that there's details that we'll have to figure out, but the idea is that, you know, things will be down to the very low minimum, which would be low magic. And the reason for that is not just because that's what role players want, it seems, is most part. It also is done because of the story. You know, in the Realms of Trinity 1 and 2, at the end of Realms of Trinity 2, you know, the story is that things are, you know, this is not going to take place directly after ROT2. I mean, there's going to be 17 years to take place between 2 and 3. And that it's going to be a new cast of characters, and that's why players are going to start new characters off, and but the story is there, and the whole background of what happened at the end of 2, and I'm not going to go through all that now, but just to give an idea, you know, what happened down at 2 will be in effect for 3, but you're going to get that a little time after that. You know, the things to settle in after what happened in ROT2, which is pretty epic, is actually if you've played through the campaigns or if you've been paying attention to anything that we've posted on YouTube or wherever. And you'll see that it's been a very very catastrophic event that taken place, and the world's kind of resetting. And you know, our story takes place about at this point is going to be about 247 years past the time that the Mask of the Betrayer took place, and so you get a kind of a time sense. So this is well past, you know, that the standard Forgotten Realms is in, but things are generally the same, you know. But they take into account the D&D 4.0 changes for Forgotten Realms campaign settings, and, you know, things like that, but plus our own flavor of the things that we've changed due to our story and our progression. That's why we're even past where they're at. So we have the liberty to make those changes, and, you know, that still falls in the normal, you know, progression of the campaign world setting. So definitely another reason why we want to do that. You know, which just leads us into our next topic is, like, we know that's a vision. You know, we're going to be having an RP-driven campaign. Well, a lot of places have RP-driven campaigns. And nothing that we've done at the Realms of Trinity and now at the Rise of Sauron, you know, that has been done were done like just willy-nilly or just, you know, manually ran or, you know, stuff like that, that we've written a tons of custom scripted systems that are, I feel that are top notch. They're just ridiculous. The dynamic spawning system and some of the other systems that we've put together are insanely powerful and really keep the world fresh and dynamic and live and really help to bring about a real, you know, persistent world setting. Well, Jason and I have been talking with Rowan, you know, another one of our DMs and conceptual designers at the Realms of Trinity, about how we're going to do something, you know, how we're going to expand the game engine again for this new model. Because what we don't want to do is have to make manual changes to the module after every event's written. That's currently what's being done on other persistent worlds. You know, that's something that, yeah, it's a totally viable solution, but at the same time, it's much more time consuming. And it also introduces plenty of possibilities for problems or, you know, constant auto-downloading and things like that. There's a lot of stuff like that, server reboots for new NPCs, tons of, you know, resources go into building NPCs and blueprints and writing conversation scripts if you have that, or if you're, you know, just bottom line is it's just a lot of time goes into doing that. So what we're going to do, and this is, brings up the topic of the new dynamic systems that we're going to be putting into place. One of them is we're going to be creating a, we talked about this in the past too, so, but we just never got around to it because time plus the scope of what we were already working on. But we're going to be creating a web portal admin tool for our DMs to be able to create NPCs real-time on the fly via web interface, A. B, they're going to be able to create custom weapons and different items right on the fly, because we're going to be able to build these features dynamically on the creatures as they're spawned in, or NPCs as they're spawned in with the new systems, through the same interface, you know, just with different screens. And also we're going to convert our Windows applications spawning control system to web-based forms, and we're going to go down that road so that the DMs will be able to actually affect the in-game spawners and change what, you know, gets kicked out by them, or, you know, if you want to change what's, you know, what guards are standing out wherever, so they can go in, put the blueprint name in right there and change the number amount right from a web interface, and those changes will take place in game real time within, you know, within 10 minutes is what we have currently set just for server performance. But those types of things could be done via web interface real time, not having to wait for, you know, me or another module developer to go make those changes in the module and then, you know, install them and all that kind of stuff. So none of that stuff will happen. And, you know, obviously we're going to have a system where we have a ability for the DMs to track the progression of the story, so they could type up little synopsises and, you know, like an almanac, but you know, like more of a history, world history and thing that they keep tacking entries to, that the players, if they're gone for a week or two and they miss out on the events that we're running and that have been affecting the world, they can go there and they can catch up to see, you know, what has happened in the world since they've been gone. So, you know, so it's just that kind of a mentality for these systems. They're going to be totally dynamic. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of work in developing them, but I've already done some proof of concepts and know what's available. And there's things that we've done for ROT 1 and 2, you know, that were due dynamic creature modifications we already have in place that's all data-driven and stuff like that we've been using that works out smashingly well. And, you know, I can't wait to expand that out for this process, because this will give us a lot of power to be able to develop a truly dynamic and, you know, DM and player driven world. You know, so you have, like Jason just said, you have an overall goal that you're going to be working towards, but really the player's actions are going to determine how the things move forward, and it's just going to be a really player rich experience. And thanks to the Witch King Master over there, he's provided us a tons of beautifully designed areas that we are going to be able to help us kickstart all the area development that we're going to need to do, and it'll save us a ton of time on that part. And, you know, let us focus more on the key, you know, region-specific areas that we'll need to develop for this, and not have to worry about filling in all the gaps and really making a beautiful rendition of what we want to do for ROT3.
Right, and, you know, previously with the other campaigns that we've done, we've gone through this really long process of developing and releasing chapter by chapter, you know, over a year or two or however long it's been,
right.
You know, to get the campaign out there for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and it takes a lot of time. And then the whole time that is being spent on that is kind of behind the scenes. And, you know, people don't see directly, and they, you know, the story is kind of played out, and you don't get to interact with the people and see the story played out. And, you know, so it should be better overall for everybody.
Yep. It totally is, and by no means, you know, ROT3 does not replace 1 and 2. ROT3 will be its own server. You'll all have your own set of characters, own vault. It'll be totally disjoint from our current setup, so that, you know, you'll still be able to play the other campaigns, you know, beforehand, or if you want to, or you can just jump into ROT3. It's strictly up to the player, but that it'll be totally separate from what we currently have. But they will both be being ran at the same time. We're not getting rid of one for the other. So that's pretty much all I had on that. You have anything else, Jason?
Basically, don't get scared. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, basically, don't get scared. You know, we have, and don't worry, I'm not throwing away, you know, 4 years of, you know, tip-top work that we spent tons of time to develop and program, because it is self-running, and you can have tons of fun and spend countless hours on ROT 1 and 2 still. And, you know, I get bored for long times. So we're going to leave that up. Plus, it's a story. You know, we want to tell the story. Yeah, it's like doing Star Wars Episode 6 and then, you know, deleting 4 and 5 after you did it. Yeah, it's kind of, you got Episode 4, 5, and 6. You don't just get rid of the other episodes because you got a new episode coming up.
No, we just got to go back and redo them all again, I guess.
Yeah, 3D.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, to get some other things to talk about, Witch King, you want to talk about all the work that you've been doing on your upcoming release for the updates for your Persistent World?
I might want to give a few words, but still, we're not in the ready yet to give any spoiler on what we're gonna change. But you already mentioned a lot of the content that you already helped me to implement in our module that will be take effect the minutes we're gonna make that release. I can maybe today I can just mention that the release date will be. Is sometime in April. I cannot confirm any date at this point in time, but the dynamic spawner will definitely be one of the main features of that update, where we're using the standard Neverwinter Nights 2 encountering system, using the trigger, and now we will implement all of our creatures, and also for those who know the CNR, the resource will also be changed dynamically using that system. So I'm fairly excited of things that's going on. So for now, it's a lot of work, so a lot of two-set time. I know that our players are somehow excited of what's going to come up. Also, the reward system that will be implemented, that it's not yet implemented in the TRS, but will be soon, as well as this is more of the on the admin side, but also we're using the manager system, or the program that Brian has designed for Rail of Trinity, that we will also be using in TRS. Also, something we didn't add on the TRS that will be added is the persistent journal. That will be persistent over reboot, over actually the character lifetime. So that will be a great topic for us, or not a great topic, but a great system for us, for our players. Something that will I think will help us moving around with our settings, as well as another thing I can tell for our players or whoever wants to come out and try TRS, we're going to move toward an even slightly lower magic world, trying to target a more role-playing player base than right now. What we are asking our players, in which they're doing right is they are participating a lot in our role-playing forums. Right now, Rise of Sauron has started the War of the Ring, so there's a lot of cool events running by two of our DMs almost every 2 days. So you, whoever is a fan or enjoy a Middle Earth environment, I clearly suggesting you to that you might want to try to take a look at TRS. Also, one other thing that will be different. We also are currently revamping our websites and forums, so expect a new skins for this release. So it should be something big.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, we got some big stuff coming, both of us. Ours is a little bit further off, though. We won't give April as a date for our stuff, but you know, we definitely are looking into fall 2012. So for anything that we come out with, because it's very, you know, we got a lot of work to do on our stuff. So, but because of our teamed up servers, we're sharing a lot of our resources together, and we're helping each other out, and it's already been very fruitful and getting a lot of stuff done quick. And you know, it's really hard. I think any persistent world runner listening to this podcast knows that, you know, keeping resources on staff and, you know, keeping up you know, development team is difficult over the long, especially over persistent worlds that have ran as long as ours have, you know, the 4 or 5 year range plus. You know, so it's really good whenever you get a bunch of us working together on these projects. First of all, it encourages both of us to get our crap done. Sometimes it's easily to get discouraged when you see four people on the server after you spend 60 billion hours on it, you know, and, you know, so you can't always see 50 people on a server when you look over, you know, things have been really good and sometimes they get really slow and you can't take that personally. You just got to keep moving along. And sometimes it's just the way it is. With the player base and how it shifts a lot. And, you know, it's really good that we work together because, you know, it really does help us to get, you know, encouraged to and motivated to really continue to pump out the content we've been pumping out. So
yes, and exactly. So I hope that other personal administrator will consider going this direction. So I really enjoy my time with this alliance, as I both benefit from the Aura Realm Infinity content as well as brand expertise. But on my side, I try to provide him with what I can help that for some of you that Brian has some weakness. So I try to fill in those weaknesses for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're here for. So, hey, both of us, man, we both, you know, that's part of it, and that's part of the, you know, getting together on these types of things, and that's why, you know, more of this should be encouraged and done, because, you know, at the end of the day, we both provide better content for our players. So,
yep, exactly.
Well, that's all we had. Justin, you want to give the closing line?
Yeah, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.